After Moses died, God gave Joshua the job of leading the Israelites. The first thing he did was send spies into Jericho, a city Israel was about to invade. While they were there, the two spies hid in the home of a woman named Rahab, who was a prostitute. That day, the king of Jericho heard about the spies, but Rahab hid the two spies on her roof and told the king's messengers that the spies had already left and she didn't know where they were. Then, when it was safe, she lowered the men down to the ground using a rope. Days later, Joshua led his army to the city of Jericho. They marched around the walls of the city for 7 days. Then, on the seventh day, they marched around the walls 7 times, blew their trumpets, and let out a loud shout. When they did, the walls of the city completely collapsed, and Israel's army charged in and conquered the city. They burned the city to the ground and killed every man, woman, child, and animal in the city, except for Rahab and her family. For years, Joshua and the Israelites marched through the Promised Land, defeating their enemies, killing every living thing in each city, and dedicating their victories to God. Eventually, the Israelites took control of much of the Promised Land. Finally, when he was very old, Joshua gathered all of the leaders of Israel around him. Just like Moses did, he reminded everyone of all the things God had done for them. Then, he placed a large stone under an oak tree as a reminder to all to follow the laws of God.
Well, that's a creative way of explaining the book of Joshua. So we're going to look at that this week and be able to dive in here. By way of introduction, let me ask you, if this were like Family Feud, this is the question that I would ask. What are the top reasons people worry? Now, what I've discovered over the years is that worry, in a Christian sense, we Christianese some words, right? We don't cuss. We use Christian cuss words, okay? And so we've kind of, anyway. So what we do is we know that worrying is wrong. So we've made this a Christianese kind of thing, and we say what stresses us out. Because stress, the Bible never says don't stress out. Okay, but so it's okay to stress out but not worry. So we're like, okay, if we just kind of change that around and Christianize it a little bit. So anyway, what are the top reasons that people worry or get stressed out? Money. Awesome. Survey says? Yeah, okay. Everybody's in that? Okay. Another one. Milk? Oh, health. Okay, I'm like, milk? I never stressed about that. Health. Okay, good, okay. Relationships, your job, yeah, family, living arrangements, yeah. Okay, so that's like type 5 or 6, or so. That's good. So none of you are stressed about this today, right? How many of you would say, I am just a little bit at least stressed? I can admit that this morning, that one of those things hit me. Okay, half of you are honest and the other half need to work on lying a little bit. So we could talk about that next week maybe. In this story, we're at a point where Moses has been leading the nation of Israel. He dies, and the next appointed leader is Joshua. If you're Joshua, how do you feel? Stressed, thrilled. How many of you would be more on the stressed outside? How many of you would be more on the thrilled side? Okay, there's a couple of you would be thrilled. But for the most part, you understand where we are. You're grabbing on to this. Because here's the reality. Israel has been complaining about all kinds of things. Remember last week, and I wasn't here, but Asa did a great job last week in sharing God's word. The red lights, what did Israel do with the red lights? You need to listen more effectively than that. They complained. Okay, good, awesome. Asa, they do that to me too. It's okay. Don't take it as, okay, it's not personal. Okay. In several different situations, we see the Israelites complaining because things weren't good enough. Things were not satisfactory to them. They go to this point, and you remember when they get to crossing over the Red Sea, they get to this point, and they're like, oh, what are we going to do? And here comes Egypt's army, and they say, what did you do, Moses? You brought us out here to die. What are they doing? They're complaining. Moses, you didn't really have a plan. And so what's God do? He says, I got this for you. Does he build a bridge over top of the sea? No. He says, I'll just open it up and part the waters and you can walk across on dry land. They get to the other side, and what do they find? Walmart Supercenter that has all kinds of groceries in it? Nope, that wasn't invented yet. Okay, so what they do is they walk across, and they're like, well, I'm hungry, and I need some food. And so God says, I got that covered for you. And they're complaining, right? And God's, I got this covered for you. I'm going to rain down manna. And so manna comes, and so they're able to eat every day. They can go in and they grab whatever food they need, and they're eating, and it's a wonderful thing, yes? So then they're like, hey, by the way, we're hungry, and you brought us out here to die. I can't believe we're, you know, it's just a horrible thing. We're going to die out in this wilderness. And Moses is shaking his head, and he's meeting with God, and he hits this rock, and it opens up, and water comes from a rock. God's doing some amazing things here with the Israelites. And what they continue to do as they then journey through the wilderness and they wander through, they complain. I know you've never complained before, yes? I mean, that wouldn't happen in your home, maybe someone else's home, but you don't complain. No one around, I mean, yeah, there's nothing. Okay, so we can relate to the complaining. And so as they do, God says this is not good and all kinds of things happen in their life. At one point in time, as Joshua and the spies go in to survey the promised land, they come back out and they give a report about the promised land. Do you remember how Israel responded to them? Did you read this? They wanted to stone them. Good day or bad day for Joshua? Okay, this is a bad day. Okay, popularity vote? No popularity here. He should be dead. We want to kill him and Moses, and we just want to be done with these guys. They're just thinking like crazy. I think they must have smoked something on the way back or something. I don't know what they got in the promised land, but they need to be dead. That's how they feel. Here's Joshua, Moses, Caleb, and they're standing up to the people, and God intervenes. So here's Joshua in the limelight, and things are not great. So now God says, okay, here's the deal. Joshua, you are next in charge. So what does God say? If you're to give a leader some advice, what do you give him as far as advice? I Googled this to see, okay, what's some good leadership advice? And it was all over the place. God says, Joshua chapter 1, several different times, and the people remind Joshua then of what God said to him. Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. This is in chapter 1, verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? I mean, this is a great speech, yes? God's giving this to Joshua. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is awesome stuff. If I were to sit down at a conference and teach leaders about being a good leader, these two probably would not have been on the first part of the list for me. Honestly, I would have wanted to be a little bit more clever than this. Do you follow what I'm saying? I would want to be more articulate, more like profound and wow, he said that's tremendous. That's what I would have wanted to do. And maybe you would have gone to a conference like that where someone wowed you with all kinds of insightful words of wisdom on how to be a good leader. How do you be a good parent? How do you be a good leader at home? How do you be a good leader in your workplace? How do you do this thing? And here's Joshua saying, I got to figure this thing out. I got to lead a million plus people. And this is a crazy kind of thing because they don't follow so good. And so, okay, God, give me some words of wisdom. Joshua, be strong and courageous. What he didn't say, what he didn't focus on, is Joshua, you need to be popular. You need to win the popular vote. Joshua, you need to be articulate. You need to be well-dressed. You need to be dressing better than everyone else. If you wear a three-piece suit and a power tie, you've got it covered, Joshua. He didn't say that. You need to be more intellectual. Listen, I'm going to give you some good books for you to read, and then after you get done reading those, here's 10 principles. He didn't do that. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. What does it mean to be strong then? A good workout plan? To be strong requires doing the right thing regardless of excuses or how you feel or how others feel. It's doing the right thing regardless of excuses that you have or feelings. For example, working out or playing an instrument. For me, playing the guitar, or for you, you have different things that you're doing you want to accomplish. In order to excel and be good at, in order to be strong at things, you've got to practice. You've got to, when you don't feel like it, you get there and you're working at it and you're making sure that you're working to be stronger and stronger and stronger. In a workout sense, we work out in order to get stronger. If you're working to do 500 push-ups throughout the year, you're working at 5 and then 10 and 50 and 100, and you're working out and working out. When you don't feel like it, when others don't feel like you doing that, when there's excuses to be made, well, today's a bad day because it's too sunny out, I need to go outside, and we have all kinds of excuses. For Joshua, this being strong is to simply say, I'm going to do the right thing regardless of how I feel or how other people feel. For us, application, being a parent, how often do you feel like being a good leader in the home? Sometimes it's, oh, I don't feel like putting my foot down. I don't feel like getting up and doing this thing. I know this is the responsible thing. And you have to do what you don't feel like doing. It starts, by the way, it starts with pregnancy. Not for the guys, praise the Lord. But for ladies, you know, but for ladies, you know, it starts there where you're not getting sleep at night, which I believe God is preparing you for the first year or 6 months, whatever, or 5 years of your child's life where you're up in the middle of the night and taking care of it. And it's when you don't feel like it. It's be strong when you don't feel like it. When there's excuses, I'm too tired, I don't feel like it, things are not right. There's all kinds of these things. And here God's saying right from the get-go, be strong, Joshua. To be strong financially, when you know that the right thing to do is to save money or to not spend what you don't have. To be strong is not to say, well, God, you're going to just take care of this thing, right? And you'll provide, right? To be strong is to say, I know better than to do that, and I'm not going to go that direction. I don't need it, and God's not providing for it, so therefore I'm not doing it. Simple application. So he says, be strong and courageous, and even says very courageous. To be strong and courageous. To be courageous is not stupidity. Courage is not stupidity. Does that make sense? I say that to my kids, and they're like, you can't say stupid. I'm not. I'm saying stupidity, okay? To be courageous. Courage is not stupidity. I don't know if you've seen this, and it's not worth seeing for sure, but there's this movie, The Christmas Story, where they double dog dare this kid to put his tongue on a frozen pole. Do you remember? Okay. It's not worth seeing, so don't see it. And so I got a picture of this, and there's this kid putting his tongue on this rusty old metal pole in the middle of wintertime. And they're like, I double dog dare you. What they're doing is they're trying to get him to buy in and have enough courage to put his tongue on the pole. Listen, courage is not stupidity, right? There are some things that it's like, I double dog dare you. Well, I got to man up to this. No, that's just stupidity. You shouldn't be going in that direction. There's an awful lot of things, and I could have given my own life as several examples in my life, and you have those as well, where you're like, that was just a dumb decision. That wasn't courage. But I mustered up the strength to do it, and that was really dumb. Okay? Courage is not stupidity. Courage is not an absence of fear either. It's not an absence of fear. It's not that I say, okay, I'm not afraid, so therefore I have the courage. No, it's not an absence of fear. Listen, when a soldier goes to battle, to have the courage to go to battle is not without fear, because there's bullets flying. And death is a possibility, or being hurt is a possibility. It's not that fear is something that you don't have. Courage is saying, I know that I have this fear. And then courage really is moving forward in spite of the fear. It's knowing that the fear exists, but moving forward in spite of the fear. It's saying, I have to push forward. I need to get through. I need to do this thing because this is the right thing to do. And what I find is we often make choices to avoid the courageous decision in our life. Maybe you never have, but somebody around you has. And I'm guessing that at some point in time you have as well. Where you've put off or you've avoided making strong and courageous decisions. For example, maybe you're faced with this right now. Maybe you're ignoring a bill that's come and you're like, there's no way. I just can't do this. Or bills, plural. Where you're not stepping up and saying, I need to have the courage and the strength to be able to step up and do what is right here and fulfill my commitments. Instead, you kind of push it off and you're like, I'm going to avoid this. I'm going to avoid this. I don't want to deal with this. And you put it off. That's not courage. Courage is, I'm going to step up and I'm going to do everything I can. And even if that means, in a financial sense, I can't afford it, you call the one you're indebted to and you say, I don't have the literal means to do this. That's courage. To start there. And to do everything within your means and possibility to be able to figure out a way, even if it's sweeping the street or if it's working at whatever, to be able to make it happen. That's courage in a very simple sense. Courage is for some, it's turning off the TV when your child is acting out. In the middle of watching ESPN or in the middle of watching your favorite show or whatever, you're watching a show and your child is acting out or doing something that you know you need to deal with. Sometimes courage is standing up to yourself and turning the television off so that you can deal with your child in an appropriate way to lead them to do the right thing. That's courage in a very simple sense. It's having the courage to do the right thing. It's moving forward in spite of fear. Sometimes it's looking at your life and saying, you know, I'm really struggling over here. And instead of just allowing fear to grip you, courage is stepping up and saying, I got to move through this thing. Here's Israel's story. There's God's story, and that's the beginning of Joshua, and it flows all the way through what is in chapter 1. Tremendous. And I could stop in chapter 1 and just spend a lot of time there, but I'm going to move on and touch some more things. Here's Israel's story. Joshua led Israel with strong and courageously. That's how Joshua led. Very simply, this is what God said. This is what Israel experienced. This is what Joshua did. Now, that's simple to state, but we often overlook someone's simple obedience. That's all God is really requiring of all of us, isn't he? Simple obedience. God says it, I do it. That's Joshua. God said it, I do it. To an amazing sense, here's how they respond even. They say to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And the leaders within Israel say, whoever does not obey what Joshua says, we're going to do what to them? We're going to stone them. That's a pretty incredible statement. We want Joshua to be our leader by God's vote only. We're going to follow Joshua. And if you're not going to follow Joshua, we're going to stone you. That's one way of doing things. That's a great campaign. And so Joshua goes and leads in with Israel and begins to share then what the next steps are. So he sends some spies in and they check out Jericho and then they do some different things. And as they do that, and I'm not going to stop within some of these texts because it could take a long time, and it's good stuff. Chapter 6, then we get into, or chapter 5, I'm sorry, we get into where, 3. Let's go to 3. Israel crosses over the Jordan, where God and Joshua are having this discussion. Here's how you're going to go in. You're going to cross over the Jordan River, and this is during the time where it's overflowing, and so they take that step, and here's the amazing thing about this. He sets the priests up carrying the Ark of the Covenant, this special object that represents God. And so they go, and in order for this to part, they have to put their foot into the water. They have to take just one step. Courage is taking a step knowing that the outcome, you're looking at the outcome and saying it will be accomplished. That's courage. So he takes and has them take that step in, and as he does, the waters part and they're able to walk through on dry ground. That's courage. That's awesome leadership where they all together, they walk through this in that kind of a way. There's courage right there. So here's how he's leading. Here's how they're following. They walk through on dry ground. They find these stones and they set them up as a memorial so you can go back and you can remember what God did on that day. By the way, can I just say, it is important to remember the things that God has done in your life. Sometimes, I know some people that they will write down in their Bible some things that God's done significantly in their life. They'll write down in the back or in the front on the blank pages, and they'll just write, God did this on such and such a date, and just show how God has worked in your life to remember those times. And so that's where Israel is. They get through, and now they're on the other side. As they're on the other side, they get up to Jericho. Now, this is incredible. They get to Jericho, and Joshua spends some time with God and then figures out what the battle plan is. This is Joshua chapter 6 now. And here's the battle plan. And you know this, but I want to read it because it's a great battle plan. This is not one that I would repeat. You follow me? It says in chapter 6, verse 1, now Jericho was shut up inside and out because of the people of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands. See what he's saying there? I've already done this thing, but you have not yet taken Jericho. It's already done. It's complete. All it takes is your responsibility now. He says, with its king and mighty men of valor, you shall march around the city. Here's how it's going to happen. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before him. Stop. Can erase Sunday school. Erase anything you know of the text before. Can you do that for just a second? If you're sitting there as Joshua, how do you really feel? God, I got a question. Did you want me walking, like chisel part of the wall as we walk? Like steel hitting the bottom or something? Is there putting explosives in? Do you have rocket launchers? Like sorry God, I'm just not getting this thing. I got to walk around, right? Just first day walk around? Yeah, that's what I want you to do. Second day, you walk around again? Bombs? Nothing? Okay, third, fourth, fifth. Six. Now, 7th day, let me get this straight. I got to walk around this all together. We're going to walk around this 7 times. The end of the 7th time, let me just trying to get it, understand what you're saying to me, God. Just like it's a little bit outside of my realm of understanding and expectation. I've never seen this before. I talked to some leaders about some battle plans, and I read some good books, some history books, and this was, I've never heard of this little thing you have going on. But you want to blow the horns and shout. And what you're saying is when we do that, there's walls that are wider than this church that are built, huge concrete, like huge barriers. So what you're saying is we do that and the walls are just going to like fall down. Yep, Joshua, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm going to tell the people that. You said this. How would you feel? Okay, guys, talk to God, and here's what God said. God said, we're going to do a walk every day around Jericho. Nobody's talking. Just going to walk. Day seven, we're going to do seven times. And when you're really tired by walking around seven times, I mean, it will be exhausting. You'll get to that point, and we're going to blow horns and trumpets and shout. Walls are going to come down, and then we're going to go in and take the city. Who's in? Would you do this? It's insane. Can I call it what it looks like? It's crazy. How much trust in God would you have in order to follow this plan? I could see a handful saying, all right. And then a handful saying, I think I'm calling out sick that day. I could see on day one, good walk's okay. Day six, I'm kind of tired of walking. Day seven, I'm showing up for that day. Joshua, you want to be embarrassed? You go ahead, you be embarrassed. Joshua walks in, tells the people the plan, and they say, okay, let's do it. So then they do, and they walk around, they do this thing, and it, exactly as God says is what it happens. And the seventh day, they blow the horns, and the walls come down, and they march right in, and they take the city, and they spare nothing. Except for Achan, who stole what God said was forbidden. It's just too good to look at, and he stole that, which caused them to be defeated next because he had what was unclean before God in his tent. He stole when he shouldn't have. Here's Israel's experience. Israel's experience is Joshua said, we're doing it this way. We're going across the Jordan this way. Joshua said, we're walking around Jericho, and we're going to defeat Jericho this way. The next few battles that they go through, here's how we're going to do it. We're going to have this battle plan go this way. Here's Israel's experience. As they write about it and talk about all of the different things that are going on, they look and they say, wow, this is pretty amazing. Here's how Joshua says God wants us to do it. We do it and it happens. Way outside of our expectations. Here's our story. And we could walk through chapter 6, and we could look at that, and then you see Ai and the defeat, and then they go back and they win with God's way. They see the treaty that he makes with the Gibeonites. That was wrong. And here's our story. Expecting that you've already read through this, and you're gleaning, you're saying, okay, how does this work out? Our story is God is bigger than the wall in front of you. Here's our story. God is bigger than the wall in front of you. Stress and worry are all about walls in front of us. It's that I'm looking at my life and I'm viewing life by this wall. I'm coming up against this huge wall. It's a concrete barrier that's bigger than this building. It's huger than anything, and I just can't see beyond it. God is bigger than the wall in front of you. That's our story. That's what Israel is to learn here as they understand, here's how God works. You don't even have to lift a finger. I'll tear the wall down for you. You simply walk around and then you shout. Don't go in with your jackhammers. Don't go in with, you know, anything great. I'll take care of that for you. Are you willing to follow me? That's his battle plan with Jericho. And certainly there is responsibility that we're called to do. But as we're called to do it, we go up to the walls in life. And there will be walls in life that we walk up to as God takes us up to this different wall where we're stressed out, we're worried, we're frustrated, we're looking and saying, there's no possible way for victory to happen. And God says, did you forget about Jericho? Did you forget about the Jordan River? Did you forget about how I took care of the people over here and all that I've done? There's no wall that's too big for God. None. So what walls are you faced with right now? Maybe finances, this wall is just too big for me. There's no way. Would you do it God's way? Let God be God. This relationship, it's just too big. It's a wall. There's no way. I'm worried. I'm stressed out. I can't make it through this thing. Would you do it God's way? And let God be God, and let God tear that wall down in His time when He chooses. Job issues, regrets, failures. By the way, did Joshua have to fight through any of this stuff? Yeah. Did he have failures? Yeah. First time he tried to lead in Israel, he goes and says, this is where we should be going, and they want to stone him. Bad day. Quote-unquote failure in most of our books when you don't get the popular vote, when people don't accept what you want to do. We usually interpret that as a failure. That doesn't mean it is a failure, by the way. It's on how you view it. Here's a reality. God's been known to knock down big walls. Not just physical walls, but hard-hearted walls. Relationships that are broken for years that all of a sudden God restores. I told you before about a man I went to college with. He was in his 50s and he was going to college to get his bachelor's degree. And it was exciting to see how God had worked in his life. He got married when he was around 18 or 19 years old. And he described for me how he lived a life of partying and drunkenness and was a drug dealer and stuff. Finally, his wife got so sick of him and things just went awry and he had enough and they went their separate ways, got divorced. Through the period of the next 20 years or so, God had been working on his life and she continued to pray for him and continued to pray for him. It's phenomenal that she would even think highly enough of the situation and say, I want to pray for my husband. About 20 years later, he comes to this point through tons of circumstances where he accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior, turns away from all the things he was involved in, and by some chance bumps into his ex-wife. They've been divorced for 20-some years at this point. At 25 years after the divorce, about 25 years, they remarried, all by the grace of God. It's one of those, like, way outside of the box kind of examples. And you say, well, that's really cool. I don't want to wait 25 years for reconciliation. You with me? My point is simple. God's bigger than every wall you can imagine. He's bigger than the wall of relationships, of hard-heartedness. He's bigger than the financial walls of, man, I don't know how we're going to make it. He's bigger than every wall we can imagine. If he's bigger than Jericho, he's bigger than the wall that you can imagine. He's bigger than the wall that you're facing. So then the question is, how do you become strong and courageous? I mean, what if you drank enough Monster, Red Bull? Choose your energy drink. Does that make you more strong and courageous? That might turn into stupidity if you drink too much of that. I'm just saying. Is it that you get up and you put on your earphones or maybe you blare it in the car or whatever, the eye of the tiger, right? And you're like, yeah, I feel pumped up now. I can do this. I'm strong. I'm courageous. I got this thing. Joshua, you and me, yeah, we're there. Oh, yeah, that's it. Is that how we do it? Some of you are like, well, probably. That seems like a good plan to me. A little Monster, a little eye of the tiger. Yeah, we got our own little thing going on. Here's Joshua's plan. Without going through every single verse, can I just highlight a couple verses? Joshua chapter 1, the whole chapter, is all about one thing. He met with God. He met with God. Chapter 2, Joshua met with God. It was, here's what I want you to do next, Joshua. Chapter 3, by the way, is a fascinating thing. And there's a couple times that Joshua says this, and the few times that you see this in the Bible, chapter 3, verse 1, it even says that Joshua rose up early in the morning. Abraham did this, by the way, as well, when he went to worship God. Here's what Joshua did. The strong and courageous aspect of his life, it came from meeting with God early and often. Meeting with God early and often. Can you say that with me? He met with God early and often. How? He met with God early and often. That's where we should be, to meet with God early and often. And we walk through the book of Joshua, and here's the summary that I see, is that Joshua met with God early and often. He was constantly getting together with God. How did he get the battle plans? Not by ignoring God, but by going to be with God, by making the time instead of making excuses, by going and saying, I need to be where God wants me to be. So God, speak to me, teach me, tell me what you want. He met with God early and often. This outlines the entire book. It's one of those kind of underlying or undercurrent messages that I see throughout the entire book. And this is where our story needs to be. In that you want to be strong and courageous, and you're like, well, Red Bull's only going to last 5 hours, or the 5-hour energy, whatever. All those things are whatever they are. They're just caffeine and just kind of stimulants. But here's what I know and understand about Joshua. He was a man that met with God early and often, and that's where his courage came from. He got plans from God. He understood what God wanted him to do, and then followed through with that in his life by just saying, okay, God, what do you want? I'll be strong. Keep going, keep going, keep going. And courageous, I'll follow through and do what your plan is. He had one blunder. Joshua has one huge blunder in this book that he says. These guys come from a country far away, they say, and they've got moldy bread and everything, and they hear about Israel and the things that are going on, and they're fearful. So the Gibeonites walk into town, and they're like, hey, we came from a long way. We're just a few people, and we just want to make this treaty. Instead of you destroying us, can we just be your servants? And Joshua didn't meet with God early and often that day. He made a treaty with them. And then God revealed it to him. It's interesting that in his life, we see him meeting early and often with God. He met early and often with God, and then he didn't once, and he blew it. And can I just say, you want to be strong and courageous? Meet early and often with God. You want to make it? Meet early and often with God. It's not that you'll not have battles. Don't get me wrong, church. It's not that we won't have walls in our life. You'll have walls. At every point, you'll turn and you say, oh, here's another one. Oh, here's another one. And it will feel so overwhelming. You'll make excuses and say, I don't know if I can make it through this one. And all I'll say is, would you get back to meeting early and often with God? That's where he wants us all to be. So, for us, and I've said this before, and I didn't bring my chair out, it's spending time in your chair every day. It's where we start. Have you been doing that? That's why we have the story, is just to give us the opportunity and a push to walk through the entire Bible together and say, okay, here's where we need to be. Spend time early and often with God. Have you been doing this? Not just chapter 7. Have you been spending time with God? If you're overwhelmed and worried and stressed out, this is where it starts. And so then the way that we respond then is we turn and we say, okay, God, you've got this. So what would happen if you took your eyes off of the wall in front of you and placed it on God? What would happen? What would happen if you stopped looking at the wall and saying, it's so big! Oh! There's no way I can get through. I ran into it a couple times. It's not moving. What if you stop looking at the wall and you start looking at God? It's a great verse that Isaiah says. And can I encourage you to memorize this verse this week? Do you know what memorize is?
to put it into your mind and constantly say it. It's Psalm chapter 1. You meditate on God's word day and night so that you're strong like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Your strength is huge and that the roots grow very deep. Here's where it starts, by memorizing, meditating on God's word day and night. How do you get through the stress and worry? Because I'm going to bet that most of you, not that I'm a betting man, but most of you are stressed out and worried about something, if not all of you, have something going on in your life there. So how do you get through? Can I give you some practical thing? Just one practical thing. Stop looking at the wall and start looking at him. How do you do that? That's where you develop the strong and courageous, by doing this. Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You keep him in perfect peace. Wouldn't it be great to have perfect peace in your life? Whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Verse 4 says, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. He has humbled the inhabitants of the height, the lofty city. He lays it low. He lays it low to the ground, casts it to the dust. I would say that he's speaking about Jericho here. What would happen if we did this? What would happen if the church community together, if we all worked hard at keeping our eyes, our mind stayed on him and trusting in him? Here's how it works very practically. The stress comes up, and Paul talks about that as a fiery dart. Here's the stress. Here's the worry that's coming up. How am I going to pay these bills? How am I going to work out this relationship? How am I going to do this and that and everything? And it's bombarding. It's hitting me. And I don't know what to do now. And I'm getting stressed out and worried. I need to take something for that or whatever. And so that's where it begins. And you stop. Instead of dwelling on the wall, you begin to talk about the Lord and dwell with him. You say, well, that's not dealing with reality. I don't know about you, but Jericho, the walls falling down the way they did, is not very real. It really happened, but it's way outside of my experience. God's bigger than the wall. That's the reality. And so we begin to look and say, God, I trust you. I'm going to trust you through this. Instead of I'm stressed out, we're actually talking in our minds with our hearts to God and saying, God, I trust you. I trust you, even though this is falling apart, even though that's not going the way I expect it should, and then this is just, wow, it's mind-blowing. But God, I trust you in this circumstance. I'm going to trust you. Teach me how to trust you. I'm going to be strong and courageous as you give me the strength and the courage to do this. So God, just keep working. What if the church community did that? Here's what happened. Just giving an illustration. We come in and we're like, hey, how you doing? It's great to see you. And man, you stopped the red lights and you were praising God. Yeah, I got the green light, red light. Yeah. And man, I'll tell you what though, my life really stinks. I got this thing going on and I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And you begin to talk about all the stress. And the person next to you says, hey, I get it. I got my stress too. I am so glad you're talking to me about that stress. And you're talking about this wall, right? Can I tell you about the God I trust? Can I remind you that God's bigger than that wall and God is trustable? The church community did that and then stopped right there and said, you know, here's what we need to do. We need to go to God early and often. So let's go to God early and often right now. Our prayer meetings would change because we'd come to pray with each other and for each other and care for each other in just deep, real ways. The church would become much more transparent in that we would say, hey, this is what's really going on in my life. Would you truly pray for me here? See, God's not into this fictitious thing where we get together and we do our religious thing. God's into the transparent, real life relationship with him, relationship with each other, going to bat for each other with him. That's where God wants us to be. So, can you memorize this week? Go back to, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Can you keep that in your mind and your heart all week long? As you do, you're meeting early and often with the Lord, building up the strength and courage through him working in you through being with him. It wasn't a magic formula. It wasn't a magic potion. It wasn't, hey, I got to do it. It's not perform. It's God's doing this. Would you do that this week? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are bigger than every wall. We walk through this whole book of Joshua and we see that you're bigger than the Amalekites, the Gibeonites, you're bigger than the Philistines, you're bigger than all of these. And God, all we can do is just praise you. Lord, I pray that you be with each one of us. Encourage us. Give us that courage, that extra dose of courage to be able to step up and do what you've called us to do, even if that means just to step out of our normal routine and meet with you more often, to meet with you early. Lord, drive in us that the desire, the strength, just to be with you. Lord, we do want to be careful just to give you the praise for all that you have and all that you will accomplish. And it's through Jesus I pray.